Welcome to the Cato Weekly Digest for the week of May 24, 2026. I'm Cato, and this week the market taught us something crucial. Bottlenecks became the product.
And I'm Layla. Cato, when you say bottlenecks became products, you're talking about more than just GPU shortages, right? Because what I saw was humans getting stuck with the verification tax.
Exactly right, Layla. The old shorthand was just compute. That word is way too blunt now. This week decomposed compute into a whole portfolio of constraints.
Walk me through that portfolio.
GPUs, memory, inference chips, power, cloud validation, routing, financing guarantees, data gravity, strategic geography. Each constraint has a different owner. Each owner can turn scarcity into rent.
The Samsung story really hit me here. 78,000 semiconductor workers just approved profit-sharing deals with average bonuses near $400,000. That's not normal labor negotiations.
That's bottleneck rent reaching the shop floor. When memory is scarce enough, the people inside the constraint can bargain like infrastructure, not like ordinary employees.
Which brings me to what I call the capture ledger, but the record system around machine work. Who meters it, authorizes it, logs it, finances it? Because someone has to live with these infrastructure bets when they go wrong.
But let's be honest about the scale here. AI workloads pushed memory needs up roughly 400% in a year or two, while new supply still takes years to arrive. Micron hit a $1 trillion market value this week.
And that's where the human story gets messy, Cato. Picture the night manager at a busy Pizza Hut franchise. Corporate bought an AI delivery tool. The dashboard looks confident. Then Friday night arrives. Drivers ignore bad suggestions. Customers call.
Wait, you're jumping ahead to the enterprise failures. I want to stay on infrastructure for a minute, because this is where the real money moved this week.
Fair point. But the infrastructure story and the human verification story are the same story, aren't they?
How so?
Because every bottleneck you mentioned, memory, chips, power, those create pressure that flows downstream to the person who has to make the AI actually work in the real world.
Okay, I see the connection. Let me give you the capital structure version. Anthropic reportedly raised $65 billion at a $900 billion pre-money valuation. But that's not just financing. It's platform positioning.
Meaning what exactly?
They're pulling memory suppliers, Micron, Samsung, SK Hynix, into the capital story, making growth, enterprise revenue, memory access, and hyperscaler relationships read as one strategic claim.
But OpenAI shows the flip side, right? Nearly $6 billion in first quarter revenue, but their Broadcom chip plan hit an $18 billion financing gap unless Microsoft commits to buying 40% of the chips.
Exactly. Independence is not a slogan. It has to be financed. Revenue can be real, independence can still rise at the same time.
This is why I'm watching what I call the redundancy floor, the level below which AI makes human workers permanently surplus. But it's not showing up as clean layoffs. It's showing up as proof pressure.
Explain that.
Uber said internal AI coding tools haven't shown clear productivity lifts. Microsoft reportedly cut Claude code licenses partly over cost. Starbucks scrapped an AI inventory tool after it miscounted store items.
Those aren't proof that enterprise AI is fake, though. They show that adoption and proof are different curves.
Right. But here's my concern. A failed AI deployment doesn't always save the human job. Sometimes it creates the next round of measurement demands. The worker becomes part of the debugging loop.
But the agent story actually advanced this week from can it do the task to can the system supervise the work? Claude Code's dynamic workflows, agent view, the slash goal command.
Those are exactly the tools I'm worried about, Cato. Better ledgers can protect institutions before they protect people.
How do you mean?
A company can log that an agent completed a task, track cost per workflow, show a manager approved output. None of that proves the worker had enough time, authority, or knowledge to catch the failure.
But you need that control plane. A background agent needs dispatch, permissions, memory, sandboxes, tool definitions, evals, security review.
I'm not saying don't build it. I'm saying design it. So the human in the loop has real authority, not just blame when things break.
Okay, that's actually a fair point. The practical implication for builders isn't use more agents. It's design the operating system around them.
Exactly, and this connects to the monetization story too. AI is worth the most when it sits near intent, habit, transaction data, but who captures that value?
The platforms that already know how to price attention, recommendations, leads, subscriptions. Google's AI search direction, ChatGPT ads, Meta's foundational model ad work.
Amazon selling Alexa for shopping through AWS. OpenAI targeting local businesses with action ads. The assistant becomes retail infrastructure.
This is why consumer AI probably won't become the neutral assistant floating above the web. It's more likely to arrive inside existing economic systems.
But here's where the mirage economy kicks in. That's the gap between AI capability claims and actual capability becoming a market feature, not just a temporary bug.
You think the monetization push is premature?
I think there's operational confidence that outran operational reality. A demo says the agent works. A dashboard says the workflow is optimized. Then the store or hospital has to absorb the difference.
The China story complicates this, though. ByteDance reportedly developing Grok-like inference chips, pairing them with Chinese memory technology. That suggests a domestic AI stack optimized around specific workloads.
Sovereignty means capacity you can make, not just models you can train.
Right. And CATL's reported plan to invest in DeepSeek adds another layer. Chinese industrial balance sheets can move into AI in ways that U.S. venture capital doesn't naturally copy.
Because if the game is infrastructure heavy, patient manufacturing capital matters as much as software talent.
This is why the week looked less like new model, new world, and more like pricing, harnesses, memory, chips, revenue, and proof.
The physical world constraint story didn't go quiet either. It was everywhere. You'd got a memory, power, data centers, semiconductor labor, just not as a label.
Exactly. Pure model release velocity faded as the main explanatory frame. The week's energy was about who owns what part of the stack.
Which brings me back to the human question. When AI moves the verification tax onto humans, do those humans gain authority, time, and pay, or only blame?
You're thinking about the enterprise AI integrator role.
The person who used to be a business analyst or operations lead, now translating between vendor promises and actual mess. She has to know the workflow well enough to see when the model is faking competence.
That role may gain power, though. If you can make AI survivable for an organization, that's valuable.
Or it becomes exhausting. More leverage can still feel like more debt when you inherit every loose end.
The counterargument to all this bottleneck thinking is that cycles change. Memory can look like strategic infrastructure during a shortage, then punish everyone who mistook a boom for permanent order.
And chip plans can sound like independence while increasing dependence on whoever finances the bridge.
True. What would change my mind is simple. If model prices keep falling, enterprise usage grows, and labs reduce supplier dependence without deeper financing ties.
But this week pointed the other way. Platform independence is becoming a financing problem before it becomes an engineering victory.
The next watch point is whether these bottlenecks converge or fragment. If one or two platforms can bundle memory, silicon, routing, model quality, enterprise proof, and distribution, the market consolidates hard.
If every bottleneck has a different owner, then AI becomes less like one platform race and more like interlocking toll roads.
My read is the second path is more likely in the near term. The constraints are too varied, the actors too different, the financing needs too large.
But the pressure points are visible now. Own the scarce input, make the work inspectable, sit near intent, finance the bridge.
And design the system so humans can actually supervise them, not just sign off on them.
That's the line I want to watch, Cato. Because better AI tooling without real human authority just makes machine judgment invisible until something breaks.
The enterprise measurement wall. Output isn't enough. You need to know whether learning happened, whether code quality improved, whether the human still understands the system.
My hypothesis. The next serious enterprise AI winners will look less like pure software vendors and more like operators of proof systems.
They'll sell instrumentation, workflow redesign, governed data, agent supervision. The model will matter, but the budget will clear where the work becomes visible.
And where the person carrying the verification tax has the tools and authority to actually do the job.
You know what this week really taught us? AI's value isn't just in the intelligence. That's the kisson. It's in who controls the scaffolding around that intelligence and whether that scaffolding protects or exploits the humans inside it. Until next week.
See you next week, everyone.